Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to witness some scenes from the next attraction to play this theater. This picture, truly one of the most unusual ever filmed, contains scenes which under no circumstances should be viewed by anyone with a heart condition or anyone who is easily upset. We urgently recommend that if you are such a person or the parent of a young or impressionable child now in attendance, that you and the child leave the auditorium for the next 90 seconds.
Well, good evening, you sick motherfuckers. You found another episode of the Video Nasty Project, home of 72 horror movies so disgusting you'll lose your fucking mind. Tonight, we bring you love and immortality in the form of Frozen Scream by Renee Harmon. Y'all check out the trailer now, and we'll be back in a second.
Tell him it's urgent. Life and death.
Judgment Day. Time to pay your dues.
And
one sound and you had it. I have a message from Tom. He says that hell is very cold and lonely.
All men are mortal. All men must die. The Greek letter theta stands for thanatos, the word for death. The bar above it cancels its meaning. Potentially, each one of us is our thanatos, immortal. Death is a stage we can conquer. It is curable. We can live forever.
That was Frozen Scream.
Yeah.
It was quite a hell of a movie, wasn't it?
Yeah, color me unimpressed.
If this had been shot in the Midwest, it would have been really full of corn.
It was, yeah, it was. All right, so a little bit about Renee Harmon. So she came from Germany, which is why she has the weird German accent.
I thought that was assumed.
No, that was her natural accent.
Wow.
That was also her level of natural acting ability.
Oh, that explains why her accent is so stilted. She's trying to pronounce English phonetically.
Now, I can't explain Hispanic Christopher Lee, but her natural accent was actually just weird and freaky.
Yeah, on the Christopher Lee looking guy, my God, what accent was that?
I don't know.
Like Spanglish or something?
That was terrible. Nobody could have an accent that bad in real life.
That dude did, or at least that dude who did the dubbing. Because this whole movie is shot MOS and without sound. And
so they got somebody who approximated how he looked and tried to basically do a vocal approximation of his look.
Ew.
We should get into telling them about the movie before we get into let's get into this. So the movie is really... I'm just going to read the back of the goddamn box because it's far more coherent than we could possibly present. Mm. All right. So, Frozen Scream. Two misguided scientists, Dr. Renee Harmon with her German accent and Hispanic Christopher Lee, they think they've discovered a technique for immortality, lowering the body temperatures to slow down the aging process. And they got to put a little thingy right there behind
patch.
Their ear. A little... They put a smoking patch or I don't know what the fuck that was. But there's one fatal flaw, a mind-altering effect that turns the victims into frozen zombies.
they are actual zombies in the technical sense. They're not undead revenants seeking blood. They're
more the Haitian zombie than your Romero zombie.
Right. They're drugged or under control of somebody with bad intent.
And it's not really clear if they are in fact controlled, because there's plenty of times where they're just running around doing their own thing.
It services the plot.
As much as it could.
When Anne discovers her frozen body, she goes into shock. Well, actually, she finds her husband's at home. He gets attacked by kung fu monks. Actually, I'm sorry, my bad. She was attacked by a monk that looked exactly like Tom Savini.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, and so they attack her husband and they run off. And then she comes in and freaks out at her husband's dead body in the corridor. Which then, I guess she gets attacked off screen because she winds up in the hospital.
Yeah, next thing she wakes up in the hospital, on the hospital bed, this doctor... Fraulein doctor is leaning over her, telling her, you imagined the whole thing. Your husband's not dead. He wasn't killed. He had a heart attack.
Which, in fact, this is the very next line. The doctor's trying to convince her that Tom died of a heart attack, but her nightmarish visions lead her to believe otherwise.
In fact, she had a precog vision of this blonde woman bearing her chest out someplace, which actually happened later.
And that was a really weird part, because, so here she is, she's in the car, she's talking to Frau Doctor, and saying, hey, you said you were going to help me analyze my dreams, and then they go into this flashback. And then, while they're in the middle of the flashback, they go into another flashback at the beach party, but then the beach party has this flash forward.
And the beach party hasn't happened yet. That's about 10 or 15 minutes away.
So there's this weird jump time thing. Fuck if I know what's going on.
Not to mention the voiceover, which also confuses more than enlightens.
Because they dropped it right in the middle of a conversation without any warning.
All of a sudden this voiceover comes on. I was like, what the fuck? Is this another movie invading on the thing?
And then I thought it was all of a sudden he turned into a man or something.
And then me mentioned key elements of the plot. And I was like, okay, this is what I thought it was. It's an actual voiceover. But it was so jarring because I could still hear the dialogue.
They do that all the time throughout the thing.
With the different characters. But first I thought it was that I accidentally clicked on something else on my computer, and that the sound was coming from something else, until he mentioned the plot, and I was like, okay, I get it.
So, we continue. Her curiosity takes her to the doctor's secret laboratory, where she discovers a freezer full of frozen zombies, including her husband Tom.
And as it turns out, he's not actually dead. He's been made to look dead by a combination of drugs and basically cryogenics.
He was also volunteering for the project until he realized, oh shit, I would actually have to die, and then try to back out of it. And then Frau Doctor and Hispanic Christopher Lee tried to kill him and put the little mind control plant on him. Soon the zombies are everywhere. I take issue with that sentence because the zombies weren't everywhere attacking the new victims in Mad Doctor's experiments. The end of the synopsis is a lie.
The zombies is everywhere is basically your low budget equivalent of take four or five people, run them past the camera in different costumes.
I think there were seven altogether.
Yeah.
And all they did was stand in the walk-in freezer and just kind of stand there like Bela Lugosi and with the sprayed mist on them.
Like Logan's Run, where you see the runners, but they actually had a budget so they could afford to have like 20 frozen runners. But that's what that reminded me of right off the bat was, it's like, fish, plankton, sea greens, and protein from the sea. It's all here. And you're here. It's my job to freeze you. And
so, yes, there's really no coherent narrative to this. The assassins have no good reason to be wearing their little monk hoods.
Okay, there is a giallo moment in this movie. You got two of the zombie killers in their hoods, and then you've got, I believe it's Anne. Or no, I think it was Anne, and then the doctor, or something like that, standing, and you got the one killer at the top, and then one down here, and it had the scythe, and they go on that killing spree with the scythe. Remember that?
Oh yeah, that weird flashback at the beach.
Yeah,
but it was in the day beach, not the night beach.
They're standing, kind of tiered up that way. That struck me as very giallo, very Italian.
Strictly by accident, I assure you.
There were some moments where there was a little bit of artistic style to it, like that. I really liked the one bit where Tom, early in the movie, Tom was in his study, and he hears a noise. He's called the police, and then he goes to investigate. And there's a moment where the camera cuts in close to his eyes.
That whole scene was shot really weirdly because it was all like when he's on the phone to the police, it's all like a close-up of his mouth. Or like when he's talking on the phone to them, the camera's like panning above him and looking down. And it's all weird, super close-ups and weird angles.
I liked that close-up on his eyes because he can see his fear. That was a nice touch. I would agree, the rest of the scene was bizarre.
Don't get me wrong, bizarre does not necessarily mean I didn't enjoy it. I was just like, that's really kind of off-putting, weird, kind of, huh?
Yeah.
And there was one bit where you could see the budgetary constraints of this thing. So you have one of the killers carrying a fresh kill, this blonde woman, carrying her into a building where he's going to clean her up. And in the background are a couple of people walking across the in the background as if you were on a college campus, and they're walking past and go, oh, there you go, and keep going.
Man carrying dead body, nothing to see here.
Well, maybe because Frau Doctor and Hispanic Christopher Lee are in the basement getting dead bodies delivered all the time. The college campus students are like, eh, we've seen that before.
They're probably thinking, oh, frat prank. Getting beer and butt.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of good things that this movie gets right, there's one effective scene that I thought was really interesting. That, so Tom has already been taken away and kidnapped and had the little brain processing and frozen done to him. And Anne is at home and Tom calls her. And she's like, who is this? Who is this? And you just hear this low, raspy voice on the other end. I'm like, I'm so cold. I'm cold. Help me. I'm very cold. And she's like, who is this? I'm going to call the police. And it was just a very creepy, very effective moment in and amongst all this other bullshit.
The confusing aspect of the movie generally worked well for that moment because she's confused, she's afraid. You can see all that in her body language and in her face. It was one of the few moments where she actually was acting as opposed to being a wooden block.
Acting in this movie is...
Think of a black canvas of ineptitude with a few little points of light shining through it. The few shining moments are when the characters are actually performing like they ought to.
There is not a English language word that describes how amateurish and wooden and incomprehensible the acting is in this movie.
I'm frightened, Sven.
About what?
What we are doing is wrong. We are interfering with nature.
We're doctors. We interfere with nature every time we arrest the course of a disease.
So there's this one bit near the end, and I'm thinking the head doctor, he's not being villainous enough. I mean, he's got this lofty goal of countering death. In fact, Herr Doctor says, you know, we're gonna conquer death.
He's not German.
What, Evs? You know, I'm trying to basically... Okay, so Senor Doctor.
There you go.
says, we're going to conquer death, and Frau Doctor says, you know, Herr Doctor has got this lofty ideal of making people live forever so we can do this and that. And then when it finally comes down to the final confrontation, you don't get this prolonged fight or anything. She just fucking shoots him.
Yeah.
She's like, pulls I'm out done a gun. With you, bam.
Blam.
You
know,
I liked that moment. That was one of the moments where I was like, huh, I didn't expect that. That was cool.
And then we get to the final betrayal where Anne says, you don't know me at all. And
she goes over and like starts flipping switches on this very 1970s dashboard from Star Trek, and like things just start exploding.
Yeah, and Frau Doctor just stands there watching her do it.
She makes no move whatsoever to keep Anne from undoing her life's
She's
work.
She's got a gun. She could have shot her in the arm and stopped it and still had Anne at her disposal. But no, she stood there and basically watched while Anne destroyed all of her work and then did the thing that I didn't see coming, which is they fucking fuck her to death, probably.
Now, we should point out that he isn't actually fucked to death because in this movie series, we do have to make the distinction between being fucked to death and just being fucked to death.
Yeah, she's fucked. basically, she is given...
She
given,
is up shit creek.
She is Miss Freeze. She's basically Mrs. Freeze. She's given the treatment, and it's like dead and buried.
Well, the other thing is, Anne doesn't struggle or resist in any way. She doesn't try to get away. She's like frozen in terror.
Oh, God.
As Frau Doctor approaches her, it's like, yeah, come on. There should have been an actual fight between the two of them.
Yeah, they needed a catfight showdown. You know, just get down and out Roadhouse, which I've been watching. I've got half hour to go on that.
Smack. Or in the one bit where the detective is fighting the two evil monks. That was a weak fight.
Or that bum fight at the very end where they're just kind of wrestling back and forth.
I thought he was going to get killed, you know.
So did I.
And he's like, oh, I guess you're just like, yeah. It reminded me of the bum out of the Terminator before there was Terminator, you know.
But that was like one of the saddest, most pathetic fights ever when he's fighting the two. I was expecting some fisticuffs or some gunplay or something, but no.
No, the saddest, most pathetic part of the movie would in fact be the musical number that was right before the fist fight that was terribly inept. Because they're all dancing and they're dancing terribly. They're the band, this kind of weird rockabilly band, that they're doing a Bill Haley and the Comets cover because they can't afford to actually pay for the song, so they change like the words, two words.
What about the one bit where creepy aloof blonde drops dead on the dance floor? Yeah, she tries to strangle her partner, and then...
As near as I can tell, and this is strictly a guess on my part, because fuck if we can figure out anything about this movie, that she overheated and, collapsed, because you have to be super cold for the zombification to work, for the little ear chip to work. So she was dancing, she got hot, she got horny, and critical temperature achieved, she drops dead.
The one really effective kill is when Frau Doctor tells her zombie cronies, who are, you know, out of control, you're in hell. This person has gone to heaven. You are in hell. You are burning to death. And they fall over dead. They've been psyched into believing they're on fire.
I liked that. It's like she was using a hypnotic technique.
All right, I've got a question for you guys then. Whose point of view was this movie shot from?
That's a terrible question because I can't figure out the answer.
Because it's not shot from Frau Doctor's point of view. It's certainly not Hispanic Christopher Lee's point of view. It's not shot from Anne's point of view.
For a while, I was thinking it was from the detective's point of view, but there's so much stuff that's going on that he is not privy to.
And so he's doing voiceover all the way up to the end, and the voiceover is in past tense, but he dies at the end because he's the one that gets stabbed in the eye with the needle. So it's not his point of view. There's no central focus that this movie orbits around.
In the case of movies that have bad things that happen to the characters, like A Clockwork Orange or Taxi Driver, there's always that denouement near the end or something that says this has happened and now things are different, or they're going to be the same, but I'm different. I think the viewpoints were floating. I don't think this is a case of post facto, you know, somebody looking back on what's happening. I think this is a floating commentary by the different characters. So in other words, it's in the moment. It's not from the moment.
My counterpoint to that argument, Lady Street Fighter, done by the same team, written by Renee Harmon, is also as completely incoherent as this. And so no, that's if it happened, it happened accidentally.
Well, probably. I mean, this was like her first film, wasn't it?
It was her first film that she was in charge of. It was not her first acting gig. She's done those before.
Right. So she basically made the mistake of either cutting off the end of the film, or it was never shot, or the intent changed. Maybe the voiceovers...
She didn't know what she was doing.
Yeah, the voiceovers should have been left out. She should have left the voiceovers out, or at least the detectives.
The voiceover was apparently added because they get to the editing room and they cut the movie, and like, it makes no sense. We need to do this to at least establish some sort of through line on the plot.
That's why the voiceovers are not to be taken seriously, because they were done post facto.
It's like with the David Lynch version of Dune, where the initial version of it was confusing to the test audience, so they added Princess Irulan's narrative to act as a way for the audience to figure out what was going on.
Yes, this movie is exactly like David Lynch's Dune, except it's terrible.
There are cases where they go back and they change a film specifically because their first cut of it doesn't work.
This is...
And adding a narrative is one of the ways that they've fixed films.
You know, based on what research I was able to do beforehand, I don't think the script was all that coherent in the first place.
It might also have something to do with the fact that you've got somebody who's coming to this country from Germany where they do films a certain way. It might be a cultural difference. It might be that she's just a bad writer. Or it might be that she was dealing with the hassles of making a film on her own, being the director and the star and doing all this stuff, and she just had these big aspirations that didn't pan out.
A little bit of like Ed Wood in that regard, where her dreams were bigger than her budget and her capabilities.
Yeah, and given what she had to work with back in the day, today we can do pretty much anything. You imagine that you can do it. But in those days, you had chemical processes, and you had to do all this and do all that. Things mount on you, and it makes you crazy. Also dealing with the time schedule here. How long do you have these actors? Or how much money is spent? Time is money. You got a line producer sitting on your shoulder while you're doing this. So you add all these things up, all these people to satisfy, and maybe not a lot of time, and maybe you're shooting on weekends. Maybe you ran out of film and you're shooting on short ends. And so all these things cascade down upon a person from a foreign country who's adrift in a place that she didn't grow up, with rules and regulations and kinds of shit like that that don't exist back there. Like China, they didn't have a whole shit ton of rules and regulations for stunt people and stuff. You do something, you get hurt, you get patched up and do it again. You know, that changed a decade or so ago. Things change.
This is a case where I think you could actually make... You've got a core of a good concept here. And if you reshot it today, you could probably make a decent film out of it.
You threw a budget at it, you had some talent behind the lens, in front of the lens, and just a little bit of care and... Yeah, I think the movie has potential. It just squandered that potential by being basically a student film.
Movies like this are basically a lesson to students. I mean, you can do this with this amount of money. You can put this on this arm. You can do this. You can cut away. And you learn your craft by doing. And that's what they did. They didn't just sit around and talk about it. They went out and made the sucker.
Mm-hmm.
And so they took what they learned and they got a saleable product.
So you got anything else left you got to say about Frozen Scream?
Amateur slasher movie made by a foreigner in this country versus professionally made Nazi exploitation movie by those people in their home country with better actors.
All right. There you go. Better than your average Nazi exploitation movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
All right. So would you have put Frozen Scream on the nasty list?
Definitely. In... But
my
I will,
God, what? Do, I'll, what? All right.
I'll add the proviso that it's in a rather limited scope area, but I would still say that it's nasty enough.
There were like two kills, then they were all super short.
Yeah, but the kills were shown multiple times. The one that the guy gets stabbed in the eye with a piece of glass, that's very nasty.
So the only bits of gore in here really are the bit where she gets stabbed in the face with that axe thing, and then the needle at the end, and then the bit of glass. And it's all pretty harmless.
Yeah, well, the axe to the head. Yeah, now most of the kills in this were done in the you have a knife and you got some blood thing behind it and you don't see an actual incision.
Or it's a strangling.
But there are times when the kills are really graphic and they're shown multiple times.
All right. That's fair enough. Okay, yeah, on the list. On the list for you or not, or left off appropriately?
I'd put a cautionary label on it. I'd say...
That's not what I asked.
Yeah, but that's not what you asked.
Would you put the movie on the list?
No. I would not put it on the list.
This is a movie you might have taken a kid to. I mean, kids get taken to R-rated movies all the time. And a poster doesn't always convey the entire message.
Yeah.
And when you get inside, the content is completely random. You don't know what the hell's going to happen.
But at least you're backing up your thesis by saying, hey, I saw the movie and these are specifically things what would wig me out. As opposed to the censorials would just kind of banned it because they looked at the title.
Yeah.
So that's a reasonable stand. Okay, I'll back you on that.
I could see that people who would be more sensitive than the three of us would freak out about, at the very least, the needle to the eye at the very end. I mean, that genuinely left me going, ugh.
I wouldn't put on the list because it's pretty tame stuff. Actually, that's kind of a shocking revelation. But, you know, hey, all right. So, yes, no, no. All right. So, Frozen Scream. Did you like it?
Been on the fence, meh, bordering towards the acting.
You got to pick one, what? Up or down? Or meh or down?
Meh.
Did you like did you like Frozen Scream? So did you like Frozen Scream?
I kind of enjoyed it. I kind of didn't enjoy it. I was glad that it was over when it ended. I won't watch it again.
So more in your corner that you liked it.
Yeah.
And upon subsequent view.
By any measurable metric, this is a terrible movie. You're absolutely right. But the thing is, I enjoyed it. I actually kind of come down on the side of, I liked it. It's, yes, terrible on pretty much every front, but it's not without charm. So, okay, all right, so, meh, I liked it. There you go. Can't go wrong with a full spectrum decision.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming to our show tonight. We appreciate the opportunity to serve you. We think it's great to be able to enjoy fine entertainment in the comfort and privacy of your own car. The come-as-you-are atmosphere is a pleasant way to relax in the evening. Don't you agree?
And there we go. That's Frozen Scream back on the shelf. Renee, she doesn't show up on the Video Nasty list again, despite trying really, really hard with a whole bunch of really terrible movies. But you know who does show up again? Next week, we've got a return appearance from Toby Hooper. His next movie is The Fun House. So me, Jeff, and Ian, we're going to take a crack at that. In the meantime, why don't you drop me an email? The email address is thevideonastyproject@gmail.com. And we'll catch you next week for a little bit of Toby Hooper. Until then, stay evil.
Hey, buddy, you want a drink?
Guess he doesn't drink.